to the Grace Hour Show. This is our podcast from Greater Grace Church in Baltimore, and we take a dive and talk about the daily challenges that we have in following Christ in a precious faith that he has given to us by his death on the cross. And we want you to live. We want to give you some encouragement and some resources so that you can live practically in this present evil world. I'm Pastor Steve Andrelonis. With me, Pastor Ronaldo Brown, today in the studio. We're talking about a subject, really, we've been talking all week about the deep work of God. And one of the things that God uses to create a deep work into us is betrayal and abandonment. People wound us. People leave us. People talk about us, slander us. All those things do happen to believers because we are living in a world that is under the power of the prince of lies, and he is very much directing an atmosphere to try and minimize our witness and our testimony for the person of Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God. So we don't want to be naive about that. We're going to go slow. We're going to talk about what it means to be betrayed, what it means to be abandoned, and how God works that together for his divine purposes. I'm purposely leaving out the scripture that you're thinking in your mind because, you know, when we use words like betrayal and abandonment, we're saying, how in the world can that be categorized as good? But we have to view things from, you know, the one who is seated on the throne. So, yeah. Pastor Ronaldo, do you want to like sort of dive into these things, set some definitions, and we'll guide the conversation through the next 40 minutes or so?
I like what you said about Satan's purpose to minimize our impact on ministry. How does he do that? Through deception, and the beginning of deception is distraction. And the greatest distraction in my life, the one that always takes me to is not necessarily bad, is my humanity. And the weakness of my humanity is my emotions in that respect. So any distraction that attacks my emotions in a personal way is going to really, really distract me and minimize my, it could potentially minimize my testimony and minimize my involvement in the work of God. These two words, betrayal and abandonment, we don't say them softly or lightly. They have a lot of gravity to us. Number one, because they're personal. Strangers don't betray you. Someone close to you does. You can be betrayed by, a loved one, a church family member, a friend, a coworker. It's a betrayal of trust, a betrayal of finances, and it's always trust in that way. Our principle, you may betray yourself. You've done something that you regret because it betrays how you characterize yourself. Betrayal is when you disappoint a person's trust, hope, or expectations, when you fail to keep or honor a promise, principle and memory, you violate their trust or their confidence, or even a moral standard. These are all betrayals. It's never easy to handle, and there's no right way to accept a betrayal. So let's not pretend like there's this 6-point definition where this is how you handle a betrayal, because it's kind of an ambush. It's an emotional ambush. You're never prepared for a betrayal. Because you're walking in the cloud of trust. Yeah. So then when it comes, you're like, whoa, wait a minute. Because there's nothing worse than when you think something's A and then it suddenly shows you B. In a larger scale, betrayal is a lot of things. It's something that we've all done. As much as we've all been betrayed on some level, we've betrayed someone. In fact, all sin is actually a betrayal of God. We've all betrayed in small ways. We didn't meet a responsibility we had promised to meet. We broke a promise. We broke a confidence. It can get more intense with the betrayal. But in our mind, we tend to have certain levels of sin, certain levels of acceptability. Like it's okay to say a white lie, but not a big lie. It's okay to have a minor betrayal with schedule, but not a major betrayal of marriage. It's like there's acceptable levels. But God doesn't operate that way. We do. So betrayal, you can find it all in the scriptures. Samson betrayed by Delilah, Joseph by his brothers, Jeremiah by those around him, David Paul, even Jesus was betrayed. And that's a big thought. That's one thought. And I want to go to the other one real quick, and then we'll open it up a little bit. Abandonment, that is to withdraw one's support or help from, to leave alone, to walk away, usually with the intention of not returning. And what's scary about abandonment that's different than betrayal is that with betrayal, you may understand the intention, you may see the person again. But with abandonment, you usually don't see the person again. So there's this huge gap of why. Why would this person do this? And abandonment tends to leave the scars of really trusting anybody again, even worse than betrayal. Like people that have been abandoned even find it hard to trust God. An abandonment can put a spirit in you that betrayal can't, and that is an orphan spirit. An orphan spirit is produced when I begin to personalize abandonment, and then I begin to identify as someone who doesn't fit in anywhere. An orphan spirit makes me feel like I'm unworthy. An orphan spirit means that the reason why someone abandoned me was because of something I did, something I've done. So you tend to be very insecure. You feel a very hurt. You have a lot of fear. You don't trust people. You tend to isolate. You tend to be very independent. It's very shocking what can happen when someone personalizes abandonment. You see it a lot of times with young kids when they've lost parents when they were younger, for whatever reason. I mean, sometimes abandoned is interpretive. It might be my father died when I was 12, but I felt abandoned. My interpretation from it was I felt abandoned because he left me when I was 12. So it's a lot of subjectivity, and it's the same as betrayal. It can be also it can be individualized and subjective. Betrayal, you may feel someone betrayed you because they told the truth, but you feel betrayed. So that's also there too. So we've got to be careful that we don't categorize betrayal of what someone's done to me, because some of it's interpretive. Some of it's very obvious. Some of it's not so very obvious. But on the wider scale of both of these, I want you to think about a different word than betrayal and abandonment. I want you to think about injustice. Because when someone betrays you, you feel a certain form of injustice. When someone abandons you, you feel a certain form of injustice. How is God doing a deep work in my life through through injustice, really? How is he doing that? That's a great question today.
I think behind all of this, the place to go with our mind when we have such feelings that are crushing, you know, like you said, I like that ambush. It's like a betrayal or an abandonment just, you know, hits you when you're not expecting it. It's like it was my own familiar friend. It wasn't an enemy that did this to me. It was my familiar friend, as the psalm says. And otherwise, I could have borne it. Mm-hmm. But now I'm like, you know. And I think one of the things to think about is like the point of it. And this is when you're in the midst of it and it's fresh and the wound is raw. It's hard for us to understand that the Christ likeness that is being worked into our lives, because we know that the grief that the Holy Spirit feels. We know that the quenching that the Holy Spirit discerns. We know, just read John chapter 6 and see, you know, what was the look on Jesus's face when, you know, 90% of those who were there, who had eaten the bread that he had provided, decided to walk away and follow him no more. And then he turns to the small group, the remnant that is there, will you also go? And it's like, it's a very big indication of both, of the real humanity of Christ. He is feeling, you know, these real feelings of being betrayed and abandoned by people he has fed, in some cases, maybe even healed. I mean, it's hard for us to imagine that someone who would have been made right physically, you know, eyes opened, ears opened, tongue loosed, skin disease healed, would like walk away from Jesus. But I mean, it doesn't say that they didn't, you know, I mean, we find it, you know, well, God made me real, you know, it's very easy to become very casual about these strong relationships. I like that what you said, injustice, because we know that God bases his relationships to us on covenant. And covenant involves two elements. It involves legal, objective things, and it also involves personal, yes, subjective, abstract things that we can't really put in a box. And like, it's like, we're stunned that someone would fracture a contract. And then we, like, the personal side of it is saying, how dare you, mm-hmm, you know? But we see, in the, you know, one of the great passages that's only in Luke is after the third denial, it says that Jesus looked across the courtyard, mm-hmm, and saw Peter. And it's like what did the son look, mm-hmm, give in that moment? So I guess what I'm trying to say is some of the betrayal that we feel brings us closer to the way that God sees. I'll read this. This is from a writer named Sarah Clarkson. She says, we want, Pat, answers to the issues brought about by sin, decay, and death. Can we face the ancient true drama in which God himself weeps at the sight of a world he has made, and how defiled and how tragic it has become, and how people have destroyed it? It's like, so we tend to think of God as impervious to the pain, mm-hmm, that we feel, but the fact is that Jesus entered humanity and understands exactly what betrayal is, exactly what abandonment is, to a tremendous degree. And how did he respond to that? That's the question, maybe.
Because the question is not the reality. If I don't define my reality, then I won't define my response. So it begins with my reality. If I have a natural reality toward betrayal and abandonment, then my response will be natural. Mm-hmm. So I have to make sure that my mind is really centered on God's mind about it. And I got to telescope out a little bit and say, okay, in the grand scheme of things, like the author you were reading was just saying, okay, this is 2 Timothy 3:13. Okay, in this world you shall experience, you'll be persecuted. John 16:33, in this world you will have tribulation. Okay, this is part of my general life. Philippians 3:10, this is part of the fellowship of his suffering, and that there's nothing in Hebrews 2 that I'm going to pass through that Christ does not pass through experientially. So in John 15, if the world hated him, then the world hates me. If, mm-hmm, he suffered, then I will suffer. If he suffered in his humanity, then I will suffer in my humanity. And somehow we want the authority of God. We want the love of God. We want the power of God. We want the call of God. But we don't want to take part in the suffering of God. And when you study the epistles, you get these two thoughts that are married together as gifts of grace, salvation and suffering. They're connected. We love the salvation side. We don't like the suffering side. But God doesn't separate the two. In fact, why is it in 1 Corinthians 1:10? He's delivered us, but he's still delivering us because he knows that the suffering is part of the salvation package. It's kind of counterintuitive to see people's problems and say, oh, by the way, that's a gift from God. No, I don't want to see it that way. I would say it's different than that. It's not about just how I perceive things. I have to see things the way God sees things. And then I have to see that the problems in my life are also part of the plan of God. Because everything in my life has use to God. God will use anything in my life to draw me closer to him and give a different reflection of who he is in my life and to the world. When it says that I want to know God and make him known, do I just want to know God in the good stuff and make God known in the good stuff? Or is all my life Christ? Is everything on the table? If warfare is in my life, if warfare is part of my life, is betrayal and abandonment exclusive to that warfare? Mm-hmm. Is betrayal and abandonment exclusive to suffering? Is betrayal and abandonment exclusive to the call of God? The verse I want to read, we're talking about before the program, is in John 16:33. What does Christ say on the last night of his life? With the closest people on the face of the earth, he says, behold, the hour is come, yea, is now come, that you shall be scattered, every man to his own, and he shall leave me alone. He's telling the closest men that are with him that you're going to leave me. And then he said, but he says, but he said, yet I am not alone because the Father is with me. So this is Christ on the most important night of his life, on the last night of his life. He's saying, I'm going to be betrayed and I'm going to be abandoned. And by the way, you guys are going to be the ones that are going to be, some of you will betray me, Judas, and some of you will abandon me, all of you. But then he says prophetically, so interesting. He says, this is going to happen tonight. And then in the very next verse, he says, these things I have spoken unto you that in me you might have peace. In the world, you shall have tribulation. Context of the verse is the betrayal. So he's saying contextually, the same tribulation that I just went through in the previous verse, you're going to get it too. If I'm betrayed on the most important light of my life, when I need people the most, guess what? You're going to get that too. On those moments when you need someone the most, or from an individual, that person's going to possibly betray you. That person is going to possibly abandon you. And he's, and the same hope that I had in verse 32, he says, I am the Father's with me. He says, by the way, I'm overcoming the world indirectly. I'm with you. So the same way the Father was with me in betrayal and abandonment, I'll be with you in betrayal and abandonment. So the bad news is what I got in verse 32, you're going to get in verse 33. But the good news is what I got in verse 32, which is the Father, you're going to get in verse 33 with me. So he's saying it's a part of our existence. It was a part of his. It's not foreign to him. Shouldn't be foreign to us. Nevertheless, I don't want to make light of the fact that these are deep bruises.
Yeah.
This is deep water because it's all betrayal and abandonment hits us when it's someone that we have some kind of connection with on an emotional level, on a spiritual level, on a love level. On because trust, you can't say it's betrayal if the trust wasn't there first.
Yeah.
And then I think sometimes in our humanity, we're easy with trust. We trust a lot of things. I think it's what I want to say. It's John 2:24. Jesus didn't put his trust in men because he knew it was in men. Because here's what happens, Pastor Steve. If I trust people, it may not lead me to trust God.
Mm-hmm.
But if I trust God, then I have capacity for trusting people.
Yeah.
If I trust God first as a filter, there's space in my trust for people that they can let me down. But if I trust people, there's not space in my capacity with people for trusting God.
Yeah.
So I got to make sure I get my order of operation right. Christ died that I would trust God first. And then in my relationship with people, I understand the frailty of humanity, that I can disappoint people and people can disappoint me. And that happens in the course of the humanity, that I may betray you on a small level or a large level. I'm never prepared for it. I'm never happy about it. I never want it. But this is the reality of our life, that this is thorns and thistles. This is part of the emotional thorns and thistles of interpersonal relationships. We betray people and it's so interesting. I love this portion of scripture. I can't get enough of it. Jesus is telling them, you're going to be betrayed and you're going to betray me. Because I think sometimes as Christians, we think we're shocked when we're betrayed, but we can't possibly imagine that we also betray people.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I'm guilty. All of us are guilty of this. All of us are guilty of betrayal. All of us are guilty of abandonment. I can't sit on my high horse and say, well, so-and-so is a betrayer. You are too. You are too. You are equally as guilty. And if you haven't been, you will be. You are equally as guilty. So it's easy to kind of fingers to Romans 2:15 to accuse and excuse, right? Mm-hmm. I excuse myself. Oh my God, I can't believe she said that. And what have you said? What have you done?
Yeah.
But the goal is not in the measurement of the infraction. The goal is in the response. Why, what does God want out of that? I've got to telescope out and say, okay. Number one, this is the road, by the way, to restoration and forgiveness. I've got to telescope out. I've got to telescope out and say, okay, in the grand scheme of things, there's something greater in my relationship with God than in my relationship with this person, number one. Number two, how does God see this? God is not looking at this as like, I can't believe this person is doing this because God knew it was going to happen. Why did God allow it to happen? Because he wanted to use it. He wanted to use it. There's nothing in my life that God allows to happen that he doesn't want to use in my life to draw me closer to him. Nothing. There's no accidental work. There's no accidental infraction. There's no accidental sin. If God allowed it to happen in his divine purpose and wisdom, he has a desire that this could be used to draw us closer to him. So every betrayal has eternal possibilities. Every abandonment has eternal possibilities. And I've got to reach up to look at that.
Yeah.
If I reach across, it's war.
You
walk around as a Christian bitter, regretful, adversarial, revenge. You start judging people. You add sin to sin. You want to pay back the betrayer. You're abandoned, so you abandon people. You want to reproduce the sin. And that's what happens, by the way, when these things happen to you. If you don't take them to the cross, it becomes reproductive in your life. You will do this to other people. Hurt people hurt. You will use this against, you treated me this way, so I'll treat you that way. This happened to me. It's not just retribution against the offender. It's also retribution. You also reproduce it in other people's lives. Mm. Betrayers become betrayers. Betrayed become betrayers, right? That's Titus chapter 3:3, hated and hating.
Yeah.
It's that reciprocal flesh. I'm hated, so I hate. I've hurt, so I hurt. I've been abandoned, so I abandon. I ghost people because people have ghosted me. Do you know what they've done to me all my life? And now, because we haven't taken it to the cross, now I'm going to take it I import it into my relationships because it hasn't been done with. We're going to take some comments from the screen.
I don't know. Well, I'm thinking like what you're talking about there, is like I'm thinking, the baptism that Jesus talked to John and James about, like he's, mm-hmm. you know, they get the mom to come and say, could you put us on your right side and left? Yes. And then Jesus says, can you be baptized with the baptism I'm about to be baptized with? And he's talking about that in John 16. He's saying, you know, you guys are going to forsake me. You're going to run away. Tomorrow morning, I'm going to be all alone. I'm going to be walking a road that only I could walk. And, you know, he says from the cross, forgive them. They know not what they do. We don't really know what we're doing. It's part of the baptism process, really, of being, baptized into his character, into his mindset, understanding, it's drawing us nearer to his heart because we know that his heart was broken. Another passage that comes up in my mind is when David is confronted with what happened with Bathsheba and Uriah, he says to God, against thee and thee only have I sinned. And it seems like that is like, I lived as a betrayer. I betrayed my friend Uriah. I mm-hmm. stole his wife. I had him killed. I betrayed you, Lord. And a broken and contrite spirit was what was the result of that. And so betrayal and abandonment can... when we recognize that we are also the people that do this, and that it affects God mightily, It's like, we don't. Again, the thing that we're trying to say is we're not minimizing the effects that's happening to people, but the thing is that we're trying to point you to a Christ, a person who understands completely all forsakenness and. And to a point on the cross where there was a cosmic loneliness that none of us can fathom. Mm-hmm. When you've been one forever and ever, when you've been one with the Spirit, one with the Father forever and ever, and suddenly you're the Son all alone, mm-hmm. made sin for the world. And then there is a forsakenness that is deep and dark and requires, I suggest this, is it requires a tremendous, tremendous amount of faith in the Son of Man. The Son of God, who is now the Son of Man and now made sin for us, has to exercise a tremendous amount of faith at that point when he's committing his spirit into the hand of the Father, because at that point, he is feeling totally alone, totally outside the camp of eternity that he has been one with forever. So it's a space of a couple of hours, but just imagine the darkness that he must have felt and enveloped him at that point. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that this is easy.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that loving your enemies is easy. Jesus didn't flippantly say that kind of things. Do good to those who despitefully use you mm-hmm. when you feel abandoned. This is like, we're not saying that this is that the Holy Spirit is there to help mm-hmm. and it's painful. And, God is trying to make you more. I think ultimately God allows these things to be experienced by us to make us more like himself.
That's a good point. I think we say, I want to be more like Jesus. I want godly, and I want to be godly. I want to walk in godliness.
And then there's a baptism.
Yeah. And that's the thing. It's like, we don't, I think we're like Israel in Exodus 20. We're like the two disciples asking, we want all of God and are not sure what we're asking for.
Yeah.
You know, we want, it's like when you, the teenager says, okay, I want to live on my own. I want my own house. I want to be, and then they get the electricity bill. They get the rent. This is all that encompasses what you're asking for. But more often than not, it's not the human condition. We always ask for things we think we understand, you know? I would say it's the plan of God. Yet I'm human. Yet I'm hurt. We're God's men connected to the God man, and yet we're still men and women of Christ, and we still have a humanity. And I think God is not necessarily quiet about our suffering. I think he understands that. I just think that in my mind, I have to be able to bring things to the cross. I have to be able to bring this to the cross. I don't just bring my dreams and my desires. I don't just bring my wishes and my plans. I don't just bring my physical health to the cross. But these things have to be the cross. And you said it best. God has got to help me navigate that. The journey of healing, God help. In other words, what we're saying today is we're not saying that you have to solve these issues. We're not saying you have to figure out betrayal. You have to figure out abandonment. You have to play Christian psychologist, or you have to play with that. You don't have to play with that. What you can do is take this hurt, take this pain, take this relationship, take this situation, and bring that to the cross and lay this at the cross, and then have the Holy Spirit help you navigate through a journey through the cross of healing that may take time. It may take time. There's some pain that you will carry for your entire life. There's some pain that you will have that there. It will be like Jacob's limp. It'll be a permanent part of your life. But God will use that to draw you closer to him. And then there's some things that I think God can heal us and navigate us and lead us to. And I also find that in the measure that you fellowship with God, you recognize your own shortcomings. You telescope out and look at the greater scope of life, and that you've hurt and you've been hurt. You've betrayed and you've been betrayed. You've abandoned and you've been abandoned. And you begin to understand that, like Jesus really said, you quoted earlier, that people don't really know what they do. The majority of time that people have hurt you, it was not intentional. A lot of times, but here's what the problem is. If you have been betrayed or abandoned intentionally, you automatically assume intent every time it happens. You become hypersensitive to it. So you think it's always there. You think it's always there. You're always trying to hurt. And it's not there. So it's like, but unfortunately, this is our frame of reference, because we have recency bias that once we've been hurt this way, you're always doing this. This is always happening. It's always like this. And it's not. I need divine reality for a spiritual response. Just thinking about the life of Joseph.
First, it's a big one.
There is injustice. There is a betrayal. His own brothers grabbed him, threw him in a pit, left him for dead. They betrayed him. They abandoned him. And then they took him out of the pit, sold him into slavery. 13 years of his life. 13 years of his life, he's in slavery and he's in jail. And in the middle of that nice sandwich of slavery and jail, he's falsely accused of rape. And once again, the people that he was very kind to in Potiphar's house, once again, he's betrayed. And once again, he's abandoned. So I'm Joseph. I was 17. Now I'm 31 years old. I'm in prison. I haven't seen my family in 13 years. No one around me, that everyone I've learned and drew and trusted, have all betrayed me and all abandoned me. And what you don't hear from Joseph is any excuses. Mm-mm. You don't hear him complaining. He could have complained in Potiphar's house, but the hand of the Lord was with him. And that is the key. That goes back to the John 16:32 and John 16:33. That God is with me when I'm being betrayed. That God is with me when I'm being abandoned. And when I tap into that God issue, when I tap into that, I have a provision in 1 Corinthians 10:3, and I have a provision for when these things come against me. But it's very clear that in the life of Joseph, he suffered these injustices. And most of us, we always like to be Jacob. We like Jacob because Jacob sinned and there was mercy for the sinning. Like, yeah, I made mistakes, but you know, there's grace for that. Yeah. Even slick joke Jacob, you know, the trickster swindler, God turned it around and used it for good. Okay. So Jacob did wrong and he got grace. We all love that testimony. Joseph was wronged. Nobody wants to be Joseph because Joseph was wronged.
Yeah.
And and God says, there's grace when I'm Jacob, I'm the oppressor, and there's grace when I'm Joseph, the oppressed. But it's harder for my human condition to deal with being Joseph than being Jacob. But it's the same God of both. Same God of both. The same God who wrestled with Jacob, the same God who gave 7 promises to Jacob on the way out of the promised land, the same God who helped Jacob when he dealt with his uncle Laban, that same God is the same God who was with Joseph in Potiphar's house. And even when he went to jail and Joseph was once again forgotten and abandoned in jail by the baker and the cook, once again, what happened? God, the same God was there. And how did God turn that around, by the way? Did he not become the second most powerful man in the land? Did not God work? Because that's the result. Faith wins. Ultimately, when I walk with God, faith wins. Walking with God wins. The betrayals will come, but betrayals do not remove rewards. Betrayals do not move blessings. Betrayals do not remove good friends. For every friend that's betrayed you, God's got people in your life that haven't betrayed you and have stood beside you and supported you and have helped you. For every person that's abandoned you, God has brought people into your life. And the bigger question is, or statement rather, this is our life with God. Faith is a walk of pluses and minuses. You have people that are added to your life and subtracted for your life. People that are honorable in your life and dishonorable. Like in Romans 9, there are vessels of honor and dishonor in the house of God and vessels of honor and dishonor in your life. And this is put on your big boy shoes. This is big boy Christianity, meaning I'm going to have in this world, you're going to have this turbulence. You're going to have, and both of these two words, abandonment and betrayal. They're relational words.
Yeah.
So you're going to have relational turbulence. You're going to have exits and entries. And some of the exits you want, and some of them you don't. Some of the entries you want, some of them you don't. But here it is. God says, I'm with you, number one. Can you bring it to me? I'm not saying you have to deal with your betrayal. I'm not saying whether you're the betrayed or the betrayer. I'm not saying you have to deal with the abandonment. What I am saying is this. If you come to me by faith, I will help you through the grace of God and the love of God to navigate the journey to go through that so that this becomes fuel for you. Abandonment can be spiritual fuel for you in your relationship with God. Betrayal can be fuel for you.
Hmm. Well, let's go this way a little bit. I would say here is something that is, you feel betrayed, you feel abandoned. I would say that's a sign of something sacred in you. I would say if you are familiar and casual and indifferent about being betrayed and abandoned, I would say you're in a greater, a more dangerous situation because you have become, you're not hot nor cold. You're lukewarm. It's like, oh, well, okay. So I expected that. I don't feel injustice. It means that your conscience is seared. It's like you've got so much scar tissue on you that now it doesn't really, it doesn't really matter to you what happens. You live in like an individualistic way, and you don't sense any injustice, and you just feel like, well, that's just the way it is. You know, I don't know if I'm communicating this right, but I would say someone wrote this once. I can't remember who it is. The opposite of love isn't the strongest opposite to love isn't hatred, it's indifference. Yes. When you're indifferent to something, you don't really care about how people get hurt or what happens to that. And I would say, like, if you're crying out to God like Jesus did, my God, why have you forsaken me? Or like the psalmist did in Psalm 13, how long are you going to forget me, oh God, forever? Mm-hmm. If you're expressing those kinds of things, you're in a better place than if you said, oh, well, whatever, I'm just going to go on. So I'm just saying, like, if you're feeling betrayed and you're feeling abandoned, then there's something still alive in you.
Yeah.
You're not like indifferent, and you haven't become cold, hard as a stone. And, you know, there's still something to work with there. Mm-hmm. And sometimes the brokenness, you know, like, you know, it's always darkest before the dawn. Sometimes, yeah, when you're feeling most desperate is when you're the most close to the brokenness that you need, mm-hmm. to let the light of God come through you in a deeper way.
Yes.
None of this is very comforting when you're in the midst of betrayal and abandonment, but it is something that I'm saying. If you feel like a sense of injustice, then that sense inside of you is real, and it's a sense of God, and it's something God put in you. And you haven't become reprobate.
Yeah.
You haven't been turned over to yourself to just wallow in your selfishness for the rest of your life. So I don't know how that's sort of a backhanded way to say be comforted because you feel betrayed, but it's not easy, right?
You're aware. In other words, don't despise the realness of it. It's organic. There's gravity to it. It's real, but it's not your reality. Like, you know, be careful what you decide is your reality, because your identity is pulled from your reality. Be careful with that. You can be very, very sensitive to what's happening to you. But you want to be careful that this is not you. This is just what you're going through. This is not who you are. This is how you feel based upon circumstances and what is happening. But if you're not careful and you personalize that, what's real becomes reality for you. One of the questions is, walking in faith in God removes the effects of betrayal. No. Walking in faith with God brings God into your life, and then God is the one who does the work in your life, who deals with the effects of betrayal. You're not equipped to deal with the effects of betrayal in the flesh. And by the way, the good news is God is not asking you to do that. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, he says, bring it to me. Cast all of your cares, and this is a care, on him, for he cares for you. Give it to the one who's best equipped to deal with it. Stop trying to define it. Stop trying to explain it. Stop trying to investigate it. God has not asked you to investigate your hurt. One of the long rabbit holes of Christians is when we try to investigate our hurt, investigate our pain. Why did you do this? What were you thinking? There's no win at the end of that. You're like the dog who chases the car. When you catch the car, you don't know what to do with it, but yet you pursue. There's no winning at the end of that. God has not called us to investigate our hurts. He's called us to be real and transparent. Like, yes, I am hurt. This is wrong. You can sense that. But then he says this, when you sense that, where do you take that? Number one, I need to know where to go with that. Because if I don't know where to go, I keep it. And if I keep it in my hands, I draw natural conclusions. I draw me conclusions. I see it through the filter of me instead of the filter of God. And many Christians, when they compartmentalize their hurt internally, they internalize it, and it's dangerous because that's like poison to you. And that's where the Hebrews 12:15 comes in.
The root of bitterness comes in.
And that's the same thing with forgiveness. The reason why you struggle with unforgiveness is because instead of bringing it to God, you've kept it in-house. And the in-house in your chamber of justice, you're deciding whether this is worthy of forgiveness or not. There's some things you'll say, yes, I'll forgive that. Oh, I'm not going to forgive that. You put that authority in your hands. When God says, you bring that to me. And when you bring that to me, number one, I am the one who's best able to deal with it. If there needs to be retribution, I am the one who will do that. And if I'm going to use you, I am the one who will lead you in that. But I am the one that nothing gets past me. I will deal with that. Bring that. They trust me to handle that. And also, by the way, trust me to handle you. I can handle what's happened to you through the cross, but I also can handle you. I know you better than you know you.
Yep.
That's the key. So walking by faith with God just takes me to the right place.
Yes.
So that I am dealt with correctly. It's like what happened to me has got to be dealt with. And I have got to be dealt with, because I can bring my problem to God, but I myself don't come to God. And so then I say, well, then I'm not dealt with. And then I end up counseling my own soul. So everything comes to God. But so rather than trying to develop some kind of plan for when you're betrayed or abandoned, which you're not, Yeah. You don't even see it coming. It's like it's slapped in the back of the head. Like what? You're like 15 steps behind it. Rather than trying to analyze it, investigate it, pursue it, address it, I'd rather give it to God. Mm. Along with all the other things in my life I can't explain. Along with all the other things in my life I can't figure out. We heard it on Wednesday, the snake on the rock. All those things I can't explain.
That's true.
The mysteries, warfare, and much of your warfare in your life is a mystery. Much of it. You don't know. Many times you'd like to think you know why you're going through this. Well, that's because I lied earlier. No, you don't know. You can't rationalize what you're going through via warfare or through suffering and say you deserved it or you didn't deserve it. You don't want to play that game where you're a detective trying to figure it out. You can't figure it out. These things are past finding out. So God didn't say, okay, you know what? Today in the spirit, let's contemplate how people have hurt me and what it means and what were they thinking. That cannot be my daily devotional. Mm. I'd rather think about, okay, God, I don't know what that is. I'm going to give it to you and you'll figure it out. I know one thing. I know how it made me feel. What happened, God? I know how it made me feel. So I'm going to take it to you. I'm also going to take how I feel to you. And I'm going to say, okay, God, lead me beyond my feelings.
Mm.
Don't discount my feelings, but lead me beyond my feelings and deal with this thing. And then what happens is then I'm kind of free because I'm like, okay, God, Dr. Jesus, my primary care physician, he will deal with this, right? No copay at all for the prescriptions. He deals with me. Okay, God's got me. And then I'm good. Wow. I'm not great. I'm hurt, but I'm in the right place. If you're going to be hurt, be in the right place to get hurt, right?
That's true.
With God. Me and God hurt, I can deal with. Because the worst thing in the world is to hurt and to be alone. Mm. What did it say in Matthew 6:32? He says, everybody's going to betray me, including you, the listeners of this prophecy. You're going to betray me. But he says, I'm good because my Father's with me.
Yeah.
I'm good. And then he says in verse 32, you're going to be good because I'll be with you.
Mm, amazing. The thing is like Joseph makes a tremendous statement at the end of Genesis when he said, you know, it's obvious that God sees in ways that we do not see. And to think that these brothers got away with their betrayal, we see at the end of it that they had been living with this, the effects of their betrayal forever,
yes,
emotionally and psychologically. And when they came to Joseph after Jacob died, they said, oh, now we're going to see Joseph react and
his
bring revenge.
Yeah.
But we know that, like, I always put this thing with like the story of the unjust steward, because, you know, the guy's forgiven a lot and then he doesn't forgive the guy who owes him a little. And then people see this and say injustice and they go to the master and the master, handles it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's when you see injustice and you feel betrayed, you go to the master and the master handles it in his way.
Yes.
Not your way, in his way. And the same thing with Joseph. Joseph, you know, he said, am I in the place of God? That's the question I have to ask myself when I'm betrayed and abandoned. Am I in the place of God? Do I put myself in the place of God? Do I take God in my hand and try and retribute in my own strength?
Mm-hmm.
Or do I allow myself to live in him? You know, because Jesus said, like you said, that's so good. That was a great way to launch the whole show, was to say, Jesus said this was going to happen. Mm-hmm. It did happen. And he loved them to the end anyway.
Amen.
And he loves you to the end, and he loves the betrayers and your abandon, the people who abandon you. He loves them to the end, too. Mm. Final comment?
With these two words, right now in mental health care, emotional IQ, these are big words. Betrayal, abandonment, rejection, these are big words. And they're floating around, a lot of talking heads talking about these words. And in every case, well, in most cases, they want to give you tools for you to deal with these things. This is self-care, which for the Christian, self-care is dangerous care, because I don't want myself doesn't care for me. My flesh doesn't care for me. I want God's care. I want to go to God. So be careful that you don't try to solve these issues. And if you feel a certain kind of way because of the way you've been betrayed in the past or currently, or you feel abandoned a certain kind of way, step number one, come before God, be honest with God that that's an issue with you. bring it to God. Say, God, this is what's going on. I'm having a hard time dealing with that. I don't understand. And then, and bring your questions to God, bring your issues to God, and let God take them.
Mm.
But walk out of that conversation. It's not going to happen in one prayer, but walk out of that communication eventually with, okay, God has it. Until you let go of it to God, God can't deal with it. You can't hold it while God deals with it. You have to let it go to God. That's the genesis of 1 Peter 5:7. You have to give it to God. Painfully, progressively, you have to let go of it. And the reason why you hold it so tightly is because it hurts so much and it means so much. Mm. Like Pastor Steve said, because it has so much value to it, that's why it's hurt you so deeply. You're squeezing it. And God says, I need you to value your relationship with me greater than you value your relationship with the thing that's hurt you. Just let it go. And I remember when my daughter was like three, she hurt her hand really, really badly. And she was holding her hand and she wouldn't let it go. And I'm trying to hold her, but she won't let it. Eventually, she looked at me in the face for a long time and she slowly let go of her hand and she slowly gave it to me. Because who I was in her life was far more valuable than what had happened to her hand. And we have to learn that as believers.
Wow. Well, we hope we've helped you today in talking about abandonment and betrayal. We've had a great week here on the Grace Hour show. If you're listening and you want more information about this, you can go to gracehour.org. And our programs are archived at Apple Podcasts, YouTube, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. We want to invite you, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ or you're not, come to our church. We have a great church here in East Baltimore, 6025 Moravia Park Drive, 21206 is our zip code. You can come 9/11/6:30 this Sunday, and we'd love to see you. Let us know that you watch the Grace Hour program and that you wanted to be a part of our fellowship. So next week, a brand new theme, Team Life. Team life. It'll be talking about team life. We all need a team, right?
Yes.
And yes, I'm Steve Androlonis for Pastor Ronaldo Brown and Sebastian Palmieri, our engineer. We thank you for being with the Grace Hour today. Have a great weekend.